loving. Loving has a lot to do with short-term pain, long-term gain. You see? I'm going to be fair with you and honest with you and gentle with you even if I'm feeling crabby. Even if I haven't slept well, even if I'm broke. I don't want my moods to affect my behavior all the time. This is, again, graduate level recovery. I think grandparents do this best, and not all of them. You know, so we get to work for that. You see? Okay. Working, loving, playing. We got to have fun. But for play, I don't mean wasting time. I really mean recreating, which means recreating. It means recreating, creating again our insides. Recreation play is that very personal, private stuff that feeds our souls. And what's recreation for me may not be recreation for you. What I use, and I've tried lots of things, because the only way you find out how to play is by watching them play. And if you have no idea what they do, follow them around for a while. Where do people go? Some go bowling. I went, the other night I went out with one of my sisters-in-law for dinner. And I got there early, she lives in Vallejo, and I didn't know what to do. And I would usually, of course, go to a bar. Just, you know, where, oh, an hour early, let's have a couple drinks. We'll get there on time, sure. Here, have another one. Oh, do you have one? Hey, doom. So I was, and I don't know Vallejo. And I was wandering around, and there was a couple of, you know, attractive bars. And I noticed there was a bowling alley. I haven't been in a bowling alley since I was 18 years old. And I wandered in, and it was ladies' night. And I sat in the back, and I watched all these people having a wonderful time. Not all of them. Some were saying, what am I doing here? But a lot of them were laughing and talking and getting out a little aggression. You know? You know? Wonderful way of doing it. I'll add it to my list of breaking glass and chopping wood. You know, go bowling. Get a little aggression out. Learning how to play. The way I play right now is I work in a garden, my own. Planting things and digging things and fertilizing things and cutting things back is recreation for me. Cooking is the same thing. But that's because I'm male and I don't have to do it, you know, culturally for everyone 3 days, you know, 3 times a day forever. I also like movies, I like plays, I like reading, and I like connecting with people, and I use all those as recreation. But I, when I got sober, I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know the difference between pleasure and pain. I didn't know the difference between what I like and don't like. All I knew is I felt very shut down. And that means you get to learn this stuff, and you get to learn it for years. Learning how to play, working, loving. If you can work, love, and play, you're a pretty healthy person. And sometimes I can do this, and sometimes I can't. Okay. So I think, coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, the way I understand that is we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can get us into a place where we can work and love and play. You see? And then life's rich. You see? And at the moment, I'm experiencing some of that, which I know as soon as I say out loud will pass. It's an Irish superstition. But I thought I'd just mention it anyway. All right. Step 4. If you look in your book, you will notice that this is written in the same color ink that all the other steps are. It's not written in red, in capitals, underlined, saying this is an awful step. Okay. I mentioned last week that if it's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. I think that's really true. Now, what the fourth step is about is getting out on paper, or linoleum with crayons if you prefer that, but objectifying a lot of inside stuff. It's inconvenient and may even be difficult at times because of feelings, guilt, shame, inadequacy. I don't want to dig through all that stuff again, just be feeling uncomfortable. As a priest, I've heard lots of confessions. And I think that's a real gift. to be able to listen well to somebody. And in the confessional, what somebody does is they basically tell you, I don't know how much official sin I've ever heard, you know, whatever that looks like, but I've sure heard a lot of pain and a lot of grief and a lot of guilt. That's the kind of stuff that a fourth step is about. It's about uncomfortable things that are unresolved. It's the kind of stuff that if someone knows about this, they'll hate me. Secrets. The negative energies of our life. Okay. The theory is, if we can take this stuff that's been inside of us for so long festering and hold it up so it gets light and air, it can heal. Not right away, but it can heal. And the experience that an awful lot of people have, and this was a Bill Wilson experience, when he did his fifth step, when he shared this with somebody else, he literally felt this tremendous weight lifted off his shoulders and that he was walking hand in hand with the creator of the universe. That was not my experience. Mine was very businesslike. I think the difference is our traditions. Bill was from a Protestant tradition that never had the confessional. I had the confessional a lot. Sometimes if the person, if the confessor, the guy on the other end of the box, was intelligent and gentle and wise, it was a wonderful experience. If he was a creep, it was an awful experience. But it was a very businesslike thing for me when I did my fifth step. And what I was able to say is, I've done it to the best of my ability. If I go to a meeting tonight, I probably won't drink. Okay, so it wasn't mystical for me, but I did it. All right. There are guides on the fourth step out. What do you think about them? Some are helpful, some aren't very helpful. Find what helps you. What we need is something to trigger us to write. So you might find, I think Hazleton, that does a lot of stuff, some of it I like, some I don't, they published a guide to the fourth step that is one of the worst things I've ever seen in the world written on the subject. It was like written by my sophomore year religion teacher, who was bizarre. Just the way questions were formed made me feel guilty and wrong, and I had already done my fifth step before I looked at it. So many people had such a bad time with it that Hazelden came up with the new guide to the fourth step. Sorry. It's better. Some people go around, and they're very zealous. They have the 44 pages single-space type fourth step. Now, I don't handle those well, because that's the way I was raised in the confessional. And I found that experience to be punitive, punishing, legalistic, rigid, and very scrupulous. Oh my God, was it 9 times? Or was it 10? I don't know. Who cares? And every question has to be asked. You see, we had there, when I was a senior in high school, a priest did this with all of us. It was the exact same kind of very legalistic mind. You know, every sin you could think of, and if you couldn't think of it, you had a committee. What else could people do? Oh, really? That's not. Have you ever had sex with a goat? You know, if so, was the goat Catholic? Questions like that. A boy, girl, or a girl goat? You know, this is real. So, I don't find that to be helpful. Other people may. But if it works for you, please use it. It might not work for people you sponsor. You see? And if they don't work it that way, it doesn't mean they're wrong. Okay? They're just. But I have a little trouble with legalism. Now, what does the book say? Well, when all else fails, you know. Try them all, but then turn to the book. And what you'll see is it's a fairly simple procedure. Now, let me also say, as the book goes through the fourth step, it asks a lot of questions. And I think these questions are to trigger writing in us, trigger memory, trigger associations. I don't think every question must be answered or you haven't done the fourth step. You know, please. This is to help us, not hurt us. So I'm not a fundamentalist on any score. And there are reasonable people of goodwill who disagree with me on this. You know, so if what I say helps, please use it. If what they say helps, please use it. But the fourth step gets knocked into four general categories. Category number one, resentments. Who do you want to see slowly dead? Now, make a list. When could you do this list? Wait till you're really angry. And then do it. I went to a meeting and this jerk was chairing the meeting. And he was stupid and said awful things and I disagree with him constantly. At the end of the meeting, I was white hot with rage. I went home and wrote my resentment list. You see. So I did just the names. Boom, 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 boom. The book has a funny little diagram. This threw me for years. Why did they do this? It's so weird. It's on page 65. It says, I'm resentful at, first column two, the cause. Column three, it affects my. And then column four, which is not listed in here and has caused great grief to all kinds of people, column four is what was my part in the screw-up. You see? This is to get across to us the notion that we aren't just helpless victims. You see? Sometimes we hit back first. You see? Okay. So, rule of thumb, don't go across the page, Mr. Brown, the cause, da-da-da, that you'll bog down. Start with the column. List everyone you want to see dead, then go back and figure out why. That might break you through it. Here's Mr. Brown. Why are you resentful? His attention to my wife. Well, sure. Told my wife of my mistress. You know, can you imagine? Brown may get my job at the office. I'd have him shot. You see, just on those scores. Then Mrs. Jones. She's a nut. She snubbed me. Besides, she committed her husband for drinking. Oh, you bet I'd resent her. How about my employer? He's unreasonable, unjust, overbearing. Then threatens to fire me for drinking. The fascist. No. What an unreasonable man. Threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. You know, well, let bygones be bygones. And then on the list goes my wife. She misunderstands and nags, likes Brown, and wants the house put in her name. Resentment. Who else can be on the list? God may be on the list. A lot of people have resentments at God. Can I be angry at God? Of course you can. Of course you can. Some of us are afraid that if we get angry at God, God will strike us with lightning. This only happens in cartoons. I think a lot of us get angry at God because a lot of us figure there is such injustice out there, who's to blame? Well, let's start with the first cause. You see? And if your first prayer at God is rage, I think God appreciates the honesty. Because any healthy relationship has to be based on honesty. I think a lot of us, if we're from real nutso families, we're convinced that if anger was in the room, love would go out the door. That's not true. People who love each other can be angry at each other. They work through it. I don't get angry at people I don't know. You know? So if I'm angry at God, I think God is bright enough to figure this out. Okay? The military is a great thing to resent. An old sergeant, old girlfriends, old boyfriends, old in-laws, churches, denominations, pastors, schools, teachers, third grade. You know, these are the kinds of things that we get. How do you know it's a resentment? The Latin. Re sentire. Sentire means to know something, understand something, so well you feel it in your bones. Re, to do it again. So if I start to talk about something that happened 20 years ago, and I start feeling all those feelings again, like it happened this morning. I've got a resentment. See? If you can talk about it without working up a lather, it's just historical data. That's the difference. Now, what's also true is some resentments are absolutely justified. I mean, they're real good reasons to be resentful at some people, places, and things. But they'll still kill us. Even justified ones kill us. So there's a lot of letting go here. Okay? Resentments, big stuff. Next, fear. What are we afraid of? Again, make a list. List your fears. And then, what triggered it? What's behind it? Let's get an understanding of it. I found out a couple things. One, I was not afraid of dying, and I still think that's true. But I'm real afraid of chronic illness. That surprised me. I also find that I have a tremendous amount of fear of being rejected. I have a tremendous amount of fear of being thought a fool. I have an awful lot of fear of loneliness. I mean, there are real fears that operate in my life, and I need to know what those are. I have a tremendous fear of not having friends. So I will try to please everyone in the room, which is the easiest way of not having friends I know of. Got to take a look at that. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who is one of the great souls of our age, said that there are only two things that people seem to fear naturally. Little tiny babies fear these things. They test it. Number one is the fear of loud noises. Number two is the fear of falling from high places. She says every other fear has been taught to us by a frightened adult. Now, some of those are real useful fears. See, again, I don't think fear is bad. Fear has gotten us here. It has protected us. I fear the next drink. I hope I fear the next drink for years to come. I fear sitting on BART next to crazy people with guns. Just fear it. I fear, you know, I fear drunk drivers. I don't think those are unreasonable. But I don't want to have those completely control my life without my knowing about it. At least I want to be able to say, I don't drive New Year's Eve. You know, and I'll tell you why. Every third one out there is loaded. That's why I don't drive New Year's Eve. A healthy fear, I'll keep it alive. Thank you. Okay. The next list is sex. Now, where in the book do they talk about sex? They talk about sex on page 69. Which should be a pretty easy page for most people to remember, right? Right. And it says some very interesting things here. Number one, it says, we do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We is Alcoholics Anonymous there. And we're not, although some home groups don't know this. People's sex conduct is their own business. You see? The next line says, we all have sex problems. Welcome to the group. You see? The whole relationship thing, whether it's genital or not, sexuality is involved in all of our relationships. You see? Well, there are problems there. People have problems with each other. Pretty normal. Welcome to the group.